Well, what better place to be on a cold morning than in church, right? This is Super Bowl Sunday, and as I was thinking about the weather, my first thought was, I bet you the Super Bowl committee will never host another Super Bowl in Minneapolis. This is probably the first and the last when you think about everyone battling the cold weather. Well, we are talking about Joseph. We're having a short series on Joseph, so if you want to take your Bibles and go to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at two chapters this morning, and I can't read all of the verses because time will not allow me to do that, but we're going to do it in a way where we're going to jump back and forth. We're going to do some Bible gymnastics this morning. So we're going to leap forward, jump backwards, we're going to go back, forward, around, and up and down. So we're going to do that through these chapters. The title of my message this morning is Joseph and the Dreamers. And I'm not talking about those who came to our country illegally when they were young and now they want to become citizens. And I don't know what your opinion about that is, but everyone has their opinion about that. But it's not about that subject. So when you hear the word dreamers today, usually you think, oh, dreamers. Well, this is Joseph, and he's going to interact with a number of individuals who had dreams. Now, God spoke audibly to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in Joseph's life, God never spoke aloud, but instead communicated through dreams. I don't know if you've had dreams before where you wake up and you think it was a dream from God. Maybe you have. Maybe you've had some nightmares and your spouse woke you up or tried to wake you up. You were probably going all over the bed screaming and kicking, and they were wondering what was going on. But I suspect that all of us have had dreams. And if you haven't dreamt before, that's you're missing out on something. But usually we all go through that experience. In Joseph's situation, he's going to have dreams, but they're a special type of dream because they're coming from God. And Joseph is going to be able to interpret these dreams for some individuals who could not understand what God was trying to communicate to them. Joseph got his two dreams when he was 17. And he dreamt a couple of times. The first one was that, you know, if you remember in the context of his brothers, that they were going to bow down to him. He was going to reign over them. And his older brothers didn't want to hear that at all. And they were infuriated by that. And they hated him because he was communicating that information to them. But now we're going to find Joseph in another context. And there are three dreams that I want to look at. And then look at how some of these dreams have some things in common. So let's go to the first dream. Now remember where Joseph is right now. He's in prison. He's been placed there by Potiphar because Potiphar's wife came on to Joseph, and Joseph refused to sleep with her. And she twisted the whole story and said that Joseph had come on to her and had Joseph put in prison. So he's in prison, and he's in charge of a couple of individuals who are there because Pharaoh wanted them to be there. They had fallen out of favor with Pharaoh. It's a cupbearer or a butler. I guess you can call them either one of those individuals or names. And then it's the baker's dream. So let's look first of all at the cupbearer's dream in chapter 40 of the book of Genesis, verses 9 through 15. Chapter 40, verses 9 through 15. If you want to follow along, there is a Bible on the back side of the pew for you, or you can just listen to me as I read this story. So this is the chief butler. That's how it describes it in my translation, but he's also referred to as a cupbearer. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, 'This is the interpretation of it. Three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place,'" his former position, "'and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler or cupbearer. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into this dungeon. Well, that's the cupbearer's dream, and Joseph gave him the interpretation. Now let's look at the baker's dream in verses 16 through 19. He hears the interpretation of the cupbearers, so he's thinking to himself, well, I guess I'm going to get a good interpretation too. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days, just like with the cupbearer. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Nice interpretation. Can you imagine trying to explain that to this baker? We have some bakers here in our church right now. Ryan Sweeney from Raphael's. And if you've never eaten at Raphael's, you have to eat there, because you get the best homemade donuts and food of anywhere in the city. And that's about all the commercial I can do for you, Ryan. Great place to eat. When you look at that dream, you wonder, my goodness, how did Joseph have the nerve to even explain it to him? Such a dismal dream and outcome. Now, let's look at Pharaoh's dream in verses chapter 41. So leap forward to chapter 41, verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8. We're looking at these dreams, first of all, and then we're going to make some statements concerning what these dreams had in common. Chapter 41, verses 8, 1 through 8. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. Then he slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told him his dreams, but there was now no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. So here we have some dreams taking place. Pharaoh had 2, cupbearer had 1, and the baker had 1. And so let's look at some of the things that were common to these dreams and see if we can get some applications from the life of Joseph, how he reacted to these individuals concerning their dreams. The first one that I have here is God was revealing their future to them, and it troubled them. God is in the business of revealing himself to people, unsaved and saved. In this situation, these individuals were Egyptians, and they were worshiping false gods. And the Egyptians had numerous gods, God for practically every aspect of their lives. And they were polytheistic. They did not know the true God of the Hebrews and of the Jewish people. Understand that Joseph was part of the covenant. And here he finds himself among all these pagans in Egypt, worshiping false gods. And now we're going to see that God is going to reveal himself to these individuals through the life of Joseph. Do you know that God is always doing that? God is always revealing himself. Sometimes we don't pay attention. We read in the book of Romans that God has created nature in such a way that the nature is shouting out to people that he's their creator. Unfortunately, it says in that book that they deny the creator and they worship the creation rather than the creator. It says the heavens and the earth are shouting forth day and night that there is a God. And some people can't see that and understand that. because their minds have been darkened by the evil one, and they are lost in their sins and trespasses. You folks know that I enjoy getting out there on the cross-country trail, and I want you to know I've been doing it now faithfully at least 3 times a week. Tomorrow morning, by God's will, I'll be out there at Three Island Park on the trail, usually by myself because no one else is that crazy to be out there right after daylight. And I'll be getting my exercise. I believe it's important for me to have exercise just like it is for you. But one of the things I really enjoy about being out there is I get to see God's beauty in the winter. And you might say, Pastor, you're crazy. Winter doesn't look beautiful. The leaves are off the trees. Things are kind of gray and brown. And, well, aren't you thankful for snow? Aren't you thankful that God covers winter with snow? It would be a horrible experience being here in northern Minnesota and not having snow. So every time you see the snow come down, you should do what? Thank God for snow. He sends the rain in the summer. He sends the snow in the winter. And up here, it's big business for Bemidji. You folks know that. This is a tourist center. And if we don't have snow, you don't have the snowmobilers. You don't have the skiers. You don't have the ones out there fishing on the lake doing ice fishing. So we need the snow, and we need the cold weather. Aren't you thankful that God blesses us with cold weather every winter? Amen. Well, there is a beauty out there. You just need to pay attention to it, because when you go out on a trail, you see it. Trust me. God is revealing the future, and I am so thankful that we can trust Him with our future. But sometimes our future troubles us, just like it did the baker. Sometimes our future may not look as promising as we think it should. Sometimes we struggle with what we are trying to do and the decisions we're trying to make. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you troubled about your future? Are you troubled about what's in store for you in your future? Well, most of us don't know our future. We can plan our future, but we really don't know how it's all going to play out. But God knows our future. What a blessing it is that God knows everything. So can we trust an all-knowing God with our future as we go through life? For we walk by faith, not by sight. We trust a Heavenly Father who knows where we are, who knows what we're doing, and we can trust His promises in His Word. I love what it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your pass our steps, whatever translation you might have. So we can trust God with our future. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Amen? And I think as Joseph was giving these plans and the interpretation here, I think these individuals were troubled because they weren't sure how it was going to affect their lives and how this was all going to play out. Now, secondly, God used Joseph to witness. Here's this Hebrew taken by slavery down into Egypt, sold into bondage, ends up in Potiphar's house, which life was really good, but then it turned on him. He ended up in prison. So he goes from the pit to prison, and now we're going to see something different. He's going to be honored and elevated by Pharaoh himself. Because when Pharaoh was giving his dream to Joseph, and when Joseph begins to give his interpretation, Potiphar's going to listen to Joseph. And we're going to see a plan unfold that not only saves Egypt, but also saves the Hebrew people from starvation. So God used Joseph to witness to them about Him. You might say, well, how did He do that? Look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 40. Because He's going to tell these Egyptians who's behind all of this. And so He's going to testify and witness about His God. Look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 40. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. Oh my goodness. He saw that they were sad. And then we go over to chapter 41, verse 8. If you want to leap forward to chapter 41, verse 8, I told you we're doing some gymnastics, so get with it. Chapter 41, verse 8. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, And he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt. Pharaoh's spirit was troubled. The baker and the cupbearer were sad. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. As you ponder your life, are you troubled or are you sad? What do you need to do? Well, we all know what we need to do. But I want to put us into the context of being a Joseph. Because we have sad people and we have people who are troubled that we come into contact with every day of our lives. But we don't want to do anything. Here's Joseph taking this risk. He could have kept his mouth shut. He didn't have to engage these two people who were in prison with him, the baker and the cupbearer. He noticed they were sad. So what do you do when you notice when someone is sad? You'll run the other way, right? Because you don't want to deal with it. Have you ever had that feeling? You look at someone and maybe they're hurting, and you go, I just don't know if I can be there to support them right now. I just don't know if I can go through it. Well, the scriptures teach you and me to grieve with those who grieve and to weep with those who weep. So I hope that we're a church that are like Joseph. If we see someone in trouble, what should we do? We should go to them. We should pray with them. We should ask them, how can we help? Because this is what Joseph did as he looked at these individuals who were troubled by their dreams. Now, thirdly, God used Joseph to interpret their dreams, and Joseph wasn't willing to take any credit for himself. Look again at verse 8 of chapter 40. Go back to verse 8 in chapter 40. Then they said to him, we each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. And then look at chapter 41, verse 16. Chapter 41, verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So what is Joseph doing here? Joseph is saying, it's not me. It's God who holds the key to this interpretation. You know, sometimes we put too much emphasis on the messenger. It shouldn't be there. It should be on God. He has the answers. We don't necessarily have them, but he does. And so Joseph is drawing these individuals who did not know the true God into knowledge about the true God. And I trust that we can be involved in this process as well. I don't know how many times in my experience as a pastor and even as a Christian, I've had people who say, well, where in the Bible can I find some help? Isn't it nice to know where you can take people in the Bible and show them in God's Word where they can get help in a time of need? It's such a blessing to be able to do that. And this is what Joseph is doing. He's drawing attention to God and not to himself, which brings us to the character of Joseph. He was so humble, and he wanted to give all the praise and glory to God. Reminded me of Daniel. You remember the story of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar? Another dream. God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream. Why is God giving all of these pagan leaders dreams? Well, he cares about them, just like he cares about you and me. He wants them to come to the knowledge of truth, truth about who he is, and come to realize that he wants to be their Savior also. So here we find in these particular verses that Joseph is drawing attention to God and not to himself. He had humility. Oh, that's important for all of us. I don't have all the answers, and I'll testify to you to that continuously, but I know the Scriptures do. And so as we search the Scriptures together, we can find a word, a message from God. And oh, how we need that in a timely manner. God's revealing himself to those who didn't know him, and this is God's plan. God is constantly seeking, constantly searching, constantly revealing himself to people because he loves all people, and he wants them to come to know who he is. So if you don't know God this morning, I want to reveal from God's word who he is to you. And if you want a clear picture of God, then look at Jesus. Because Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen my Father in heaven. So look at the life of Jesus. And when you take a good look at Jesus, there's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus, and he is a clear picture of our Heavenly Father. My friend, if you've never met Jesus, if you've never seen Jesus, then Jesus wants you to look at him. He says in the Word, come to me, look to me, and he will meet your need, and he will give you rest, and he will give you life. God is interested in revealing himself to all people, and I'm so thankful we have a God who is like that. And he wants all to come to a knowledge of truth and to repentance. And then finally, we look at number 5, God had a plan for their lives. And of all these dreamers, I feel the worst for the baker. You know, these other guys, things went well. Don't you love it when things go well? Come on. Don't you ever sing a song like, man, this is the greatest day ever. Things are just, everything's going my way. And then only to have it go the other way. The life of Joseph is really learning how to handle troubles and trials that come into our lives. And if you ask God why he sends them to us or allows us to go through them, he will say this, that is through these trying times and times of trouble where you realize you really need me. We can't do this life on our own. God didn't create us to walk alone. He created us to walk with him. And he wants to get the glory and the honor. And he wants us as his children to look to him each and every day for all that we need. For his word says that he is a very present help in the time of trouble. And that he is always there for us. I want to encourage you this morning to be like Joseph. Joseph was someone who got involved with people. He realized that there were sad people, people in trouble. He engaged them. He was willing to witness to them. He was willing to get involved in their lives to the point where he wanted to help them because he cared for them. One of the strengths of the church is hopefully that we care for others and others can sense that we care. When you think about coming to this church, the first thing that should come into your mind is that we care about you as an individual. And we want you to know who Christ is. We want you to follow his word. We want you to grow in your relationship with Christ. We want you to experience the abundant life of Christ. Is anyone experiencing the abundant life of Christ today? Praise God. Because he came to give us life abundantly. And if you're a Christian here and you're not enjoying life, you're missing out. Maybe there's something that you need to let go of. You just say, God, forgive me of that, and I want to move forward. You can't live in the past. You got to live in the future, the present and the future. And God wants us to continue to be like his servant Joseph. Oh, to be a Joseph as he faced problem, difficulties, as he faced trials, temptations. He was victorious because he had faith that God would see him through it. May we experience a life like Joseph. Are you crazy, Pastor? I don't want to be in a pit. I don't want to be in a prison. I want to be next to Pharaoh, though. I want to be second in power. We're going to see as the story continues in chapters 42 and following that Joseph is going to meet his brothers. Now, remember what his brothers did to him? They threw him into a pit, and they left them there to die. That was their plan. But then some traitors came by, and I believe it was Reuben who said, no, or maybe it was Judah. I think Reuben was the oldest and then Judah. Judah might have said, I'm not quite sure, but I think Judah was the one that said, let's sell him to these Midianites. Let's sell him to these traitors. And that began the whole story when he went down into Egypt. And God is so miraculously involved in his life, just like he's in our lives, that we can never really see the end from the beginning or the beginning from the end. But what do we need to do when we're in the middle of the story? Trust him? Trust him? Lean on him? That's what he tells us to do. May God help us to do that as we look to him in our time of need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the life of Joseph. We thank you that he is an example to all of us about what is right, about what we should do when we encounter individuals who are lost, individuals who need contact with you. And Father, it is my prayer that each one of us will be a clear picture of who Jesus is, that when others see us, they won't see us, they'll see Christ in us. Lord, may that be our prayer today, and may we walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.